Blog Talk Radio.
And that's when you learn something, take notes, and you go back over your notes, and all
caller in, and he's going to tell you all about the broadcast. And remember one thing, it's all about unlocking the biblical mystery, tribe, YHDH, Yaga, part number 144. So we're going to bring our elder in and tell you all about the broadcast. So take notes, especially my brother. Take notes, brother. Take notes. Pen and paper out and spread that old book out and see can you remember the days of old. So we meet the elder with a loud voice. You say, Elder Mr. Tibbs, Yahweh beat the FC right.
And Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel, to see you well. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh there, Elder Mr. Tibbs. Well, you know, I got one of my brothers on the network. He's going to be listening to the broadcast. And he's all right. One thing about it, sooner or later, he's all right. And sooner or later, he's going to put things back together in grand style. But otherwise, this is take number 144. So whatever you got to lay on this audience on take 144, take your time and lay it out in grand style. You're on the clock. L, Mr. Tibbs, come up.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel. And thank you for bringing me once again into the night's broadcast among a cast of hundreds of thousands of listeners that actually came to hear the righteous words of Yahweh. And I always say that's a good thing. Because those of us out there that reach out to do the work of Yahweh and bring this word and pass it on to others, that's always one of the things that he looks for. Because we're reminded in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 10. 10 says, for Yahweh is not unrighteous to forget your work of labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, and that you do minister to the saints and do minister. You know, understanding that, it's always good to have one teacher, as we mentioned, because we see a lot of people going back and forth to different ministries, studying different religions, and they be all over the place in their understanding. In the book of Sirach, chapter 6, verse 6, it tells us that. It says, be at peace with many, but nevertheless, but have one counselor over a thousand. And we've often heard the example that I give about having one counselor over a thousand. But look what it says in verses 35 to 37. 35 says, be willing to hear every Yahweh discord, and let not the parables of understanding escape thee. 36, and if thou see if a man of understanding, get ye behind him unto him, and let thy foot wear the steps of his door. 37, let thy mind be upon the ordinance of the Yahweh, and meditate continually in his commandments, and he shall establish thine heart of mind, and give thee wisdom at thy own desire. And studying the word of Yahweh, you do get wisdom. And we also get talents, because once we expound on those talents, that's explained to us in Matthew's verse 25, verse number 20. Because those of us that do that, we look to hear what Yahweh has told us in verse 21. He reaches out and tells us, well done, O loyal and faithful servant. You know, we often look for that, but how many get it? Well, we're here to show you how to get that. We're here to help guide you through these dark times of bad teaching, confusion, and Christianity. We welcome and thank you for attending our live broadcast of Yahweh's ministry. We come to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. We've often been told, how can you guys get this much information out of this one book? I just can't believe it. Well, understand, we get it from connecting the books, the words of Yahweh, your health, foods that you should eat, keeping the Sabbath days, and much more we get from this one book. And this is the information that you've came to seek. And you've now found it in the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yada. We're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, having no class on Tuesday unless we have a special event or a high day. Now, we do have a Sabbath class. The current time of the top part of the Sabbath is from 7:30 to 10:30. The bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. We have a temple class that starts at 12 p.m., and the online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until our temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. To use it, just enter tribeyada.com on the search line. And after you click enter, look for tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any other device, you might see menu. But after clicking this again, you'll see the choices. Still choose the tithes and offerings. In doing so, remember what it tells all of us in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse number 8. Verse 7 says, "Give unto the Yahuwah, O you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength." 8, "Give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts." Now, many think when they hear that, "come into his courts," they donate. Oh, up and away? No. You can't donate tithes and offerings up and away. That's donated to the ministry. We had to break that down to a couple of brothers and sisters. But anyway, on this note, wisdom. A man of wisdom asked me about this. He says, "Elder Tibbs, do you know what tithes, offering, and alms mean?" I replied, "Yes." He says, "Well, let me give you some scriptures to go with." He gave me the book of Sirach, chapter 12, verse 3. 3 said, "There can be no good to come to him that is always occupied in evil, nor to him that giveth no alms." Okay, I'll give you one more. We looked at the book of Matthew, chapter 6. We read verses 1 to 4. 1 said, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. 2, therefore, when I do of alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogue or churches and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. 3, but when I do of alms, do not let the left hand know what the right hand doeth. 4, that thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." You know, we do this because we always keep in mind that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. And also donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give according to the Bible scriptures that are mentioned in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and once again mentioned in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahuwah live. Also for building a school, a banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. We even have a calendar. While you're there, check that calendar. It will help keep you, your family, and friends, and that includes myself, in tune with the Bible feast days that come to us throughout the year. Here, we also have a live program. You'll find this a feature that's only available during the live broadcast time. Just enter Yahuwah Radio Live on the search line. After clicking enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadah, and click the red live button. As soon as it appears, you'll be right into our live online broadcast. We even have 2 email addresses that the listening members can use. The first is tribeyadah@gmail.com. The other is yhdhysraeel@gmail.com for writing your written opinions or either asking questions of a biblical subject. We even have a few numbers you can call with Yahuwah in mind. The first is our live conference room number. This number is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This will be our international number where you can call and leave a message on scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the 69 accounts of Yahuwah's ministry. Also, by calling this number, you can order what our members know as the 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure that you give us the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive it promptly. On another note, do not call this number trying to teach. You will just receive a dull tone. Remember the book of Sirach, as I mentioned before, chapter 6, verse 6 says, be at peace with many, nevertheless, but have one counselor over a thousand. But anyway, what we're going to do, we're going to get into the Bible, and we're going to start our learning process. Keep your Bible open, and as the seer says, take notes, because in this program there's a lot to learn. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yahweh, man, you know, that was excellent on your part there. Yeah, it's a lot to learn. But like I said, again, we got a big project in place. So, and a lot to learn. And like you say, on the international side, over 500,000 plus that's already tuned in, logged in this broadcast. And you know, it goes back to what I'm thinking based upon Big Bowl Security. Now, Big Bowl Security, now, you know what I'm saying? Let me tell you something, Siri. Now, you know, we're hearing a lot of talk going around town about this Voices of the True Israelite. So I'm a big-time security team, so I might start watching this broadcast a little bit more closer. And every now and then, I want to give them that microphone and say hello, and let you know Big Bo will be watching those seals back. Matter of fact, let's see if I bring in old Big Old Bo and let Bo say something to this national audience. Over 500,000 plus on the international side, and got brothers on the line too. So let's see, can I bring up Big Bo Security and let Big Bo say hello to all this 500,000 plus. Hey, Big Bo.
Speak, I don't know why.
Hey, Big Bo, you want to speak to this national audience before we get started in the broadcast, Big Bo? You got something to say, Big Bo? Big
Bowl
Security.
Mm-hmm. What was that?
Well, we hear you, Big Bowl Security, but you gotta get in that microphone. So we'll show you how to do that a little bit later, Big Bowl Security. And like I said, we got some brothers on the line too that need a little brush up. So all you gotta do right now, Big Bowl Security, a couple of my brothers on the broadcast. Just take notes, and you take notes, and we'll show you some things that'll help you in time to come. Take notes. All right, let's see who's gonna be on who's gonna be live on the studio for the ninth episode part number 144. Let's see who's gonna be on stage. Who coming on stage for the ninth episode part number 144? Let's find out. Let's run and see if we find the young line up and coming teacher out of Camp One. And let's see if the young line ready to go. Young line, Brother Makai, Tribal Yada, Judy, Yahweh be there, see you right.
Yahweh bless you, dear Israel. See you right. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. That's excellent now. Excellent, excellent. All right, I'm going to find some more, but look up. Find out why do we use, instead of using the tradition names of Lord God Jesus, can you look into the Bible Encyclopedia of the King James and for everybody can keep up? Got a lot of new listeners. But for them to keep up, they need to know why do we look read the word called Lord God and Jesus and pronounce it with another name? We won't know is that historical documents, facts, why we do so. So I want you to look and bring that up and find out why do we use the name that we use, YHWH, Yahweh, instead of Lord God and Jesus. Let's pull up that record after we get everybody on stage. Let's find out his mother. Mother E, would you be part of tape 144, Mother E? One of the mothers out of Camp One, would you be part of the nice broadcast there of Mother E? That's why I beat you there, Steve Royal.
Yahweh bless you, Steve Israel, or Steve Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. All right. So Mother E will be ready to go for the nice episode part 144. Let's swing down and see if we get another mother. Mother D of Israel. Let's see what Mother D of Israel be ready for take number 144. Mother D of Israel, tribe of Yahdah Judah. Yahweh be to Israel.
Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel of Sea Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. All right. So we find out that Moses be ready and the young lion so far. And we know a couple more is coming on stage later on. But right now, we clear. So now, young lion, before we get started, I want to know, because right now, I got some brothers that got their Bible open up, and they got their better half right next to them. And we know they're going to be looking at the English Bible, and they're going to be seeing a name called Lord God and Jesus. Now, I want you to put up historical documents, facts. Why do we look right at the word called Lord God and Jesus and pronounce all them names, YHWH, proper pronunciation, Yahweh? Is any historical documents, facts that we can read out of the King James Bible Dictionary Concordance, why we do so? Then I want you to look down and see, why do we see the word called Jew and Gentile historically, knowing that these words was not in the manuscript at the time? So take the time and look at all that, young line, and bring it out. And you got over 500,000 on the international side is listening, and a lot of people going to the side that we're on right now, the left side is listening. So take your time and bring out that information. You on the clock. Come on.
Okay. Reading from the Holy Bible, King James Version, the Dictionary and Concordance. Lord, the Old Testament, when the large and small capitals are used for Lord, the original Semitic Hebrew reads YHWH, Yahweh.
Okay, what page? Call your page out there, young man. What page you on?
Okay. Reading from the Holy Bible, King James Version, Dictionary and Concordance, page 20. Lord. In the Old Testament, when large and small capitals are used for Lord, the original Hebrew Semitic reads YHWH, Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
Going over to
and what about that word called Tetragrammaton? What that mean? What page is that on?
Reading from the same book, page 30, Tetragrammaton. Tetragrammaton. The four letters YHWH, Yahweh, forming the sacred name of the Supreme Deity. Whenever the word Lord and God appear in large and small capital letters in the Old Testament scriptures, the original Hebrew Semitic text uses YHWH, Yahweh.
Uh-huh. But a lot of times they call the name Yahweh. Instead of saying Lord God and Jesus, they'll say Yahweh. And what about Yahweh and what page on that? What that means, Yahweh?
Reading from the same book, the Holy Bible, King James Version, Dictionary Concordance, same book, page 32. Yahweh. The covenant. Yahweh, YHWH, or God of Israel, YHWH, Yahweh, in the original Hebrew, Semitic. According to Yahdah Judah Tusk, because of the reverence of the divine name was not to be spoken, so the Hebrew Semitic words for Lord and God were substituted. Whenever the words Lord and God appear in large in small capital letters, the original Hebrew Semitic reads YHWH, Yahweh.
Uh-huh. So, and, you know, back in the days, when you be manipulated, nobody liked to be manipulated. So tell me, what did the people of old did about manipulating the name? What did they do? So pull up historical documents back on being manipulated when you do not use the proper name. Whenever you see the word Lord God and Jesus, in the original Old Testament and New Testament, it read YHWH, Yahweh. Now, let's look up and see what historical documents about how many times did they change that original name and they got manipulated, and nobody likes to be manipulated. Let's find out what it says, historical documents, facts on the word called manipulated. Come on.
Reading the historical document facts, YHWH, Yahweh. One thing that is clear is that the name is not Lord. This title is substituted for the name almost 7,000 times in the Old Testament in most English translations of the Hebrew Semitic scripture. In other words, YHWH, Yahweh, is removed 7,000 times in the Old Testament. The Lord is added 7,000 times in the Old Testament. This manipulation, no matter how well intended, hides the clear desire of Yahweh for people to call on his name.
And you know, one thing about it, you never like nobody to hide nothing from you. I mean, something that belongs to you or you want to pass on, you don't want nobody to hide nothing. Suppose your better half hid something from you. He said, listen, why would you hide something from me? You know, that's manipulating me. Don't hide nothing from me. I give you everything I got. Just don't hide nothing from me. See? So when you're not using the proper name, so they hid the true name, YHWH, pronounced Yahweh, and then they manipulated you by putting the name Lord God and Jesus in place of it. So whenever you say Lord God and Jesus with your Bible open, you're being manipulated. Think about English to 449 A.D. The Bible was closed, all manuscripts, in 96 A.D. That's like a 300-some year stretch without even knowing about that name. In 1382, that's when English became a official language. The Bible was written in Semitic, called Hebrew today. Now, so when the Bible was written, what historical document facts was not in the Bible on page 18 of 20? Let's see what it says, that two words was nowhere in sight. They came, like we can say, yesterday. What words was put in your Bible later on after the Bible's closed? So what is you getting ready to read there? Young lion, you on the clock, come on.
Okay, sure. Can you... You want me this document again?
Pick it up on page 18 of 20, where it says number one, where it says all my what? Where it says all my readers? What it says about all my readers?
Oh, okay, I got you. Went to the historical document facts. Picking it up where it says, all my readers should be intelligent enough to know that the original Bible was not written in English. The Old Testament originals were written in ancient Hebrew, Semitic, and the New Testament in Greek, in Aramaic. The word Jew and Gentile were unknown when these manuscripts were written. The word Gentile is unknown in the Hebrew or Semitic language. And when it is used in the Old Testament, it comes from the Hebrew Semitic goy, which means tribes or nation.
Means tribes or nation. So when you see the word called Jew, Gentile, it's pointing toward Gentile, especially tribes or nation. Go ahead and read a little bit more. Read a little bit more. What does it say? Read a little bit more.
Okay. Why was this word mistranslated over and over again, using seven different meanings, when there is really only one?
You see that? So why did it happen? So why did it happen, Steve Roy? See, why did they change this? You know why? Now we got to go in the book and find out why. So take notes. Let's find out why did they do what they did. Why did they change the manuscript? And not only that, they done something else. We're going to read it after we get all the help we can get by looking at Matthew chapter 10, verse 19. Listen good. Take notes, especially my brothers that's on the network. Get that pen out and take notes, because I'm going to ask you something later on when I see y'all again. Did you take some notes to study your notes with the better half? See, you study your notes with your better half. That's why you got to have a better half that's locked in with you. Let's see what it says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 19. What does it say?
The book of Matthew chapter 10, verse 19. Verse 19 reads, "But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you should speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you should speak."
Uh-huh. So he says, once you line up with him, in that very same hour, he'll work with you and tell you what to speak. He'll tell you some good stuff. And matter of fact, he'll tell you, let's see what he's saying in Daniel 9:22. What would he say? Write this down, especially my brothers on the network. Write this down, Daniel 9:22.
Book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 22. 22 reads, "And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, the seal, I am now come forth to give you skill and understanding."
You hear that? So once you learn from this ministry, we got six camps. Once you learn from this ministry, when you leave any one of the six anointed camps, you'll have what again? What would you have there, young lion?
Skill and understanding.
Skills and understanding. See, that's what you want. You want to have skills and understanding, because one day you'll be sitting around your grandbabies. And the best legacy you can leave your grandchildren is skill and understanding on the truth. That means you got to get the truth so they can have skill and understanding through you. Luke chapter 12, verse 12, what it say?
So the book of Luke. Chapter 12, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you are to say."
So the righteous spirit will teach you. So you need to have skills and understanding and unlock the mystery. This lesson is about unlocking the biblical mystery, take number 144. And like the elder said, you can go back and pull up these broadcasts and just find time, you and the sweet one, to go over tapes and get stronger and stronger and stronger and make one of the classes. We got six locations. Make one of the classes and sit down and get yourself stronger, but you can have skills and understanding when it comes down to teaching your grandbabies, your friends, your neighbors. It's time now to put on them skills and understanding. As a matter of fact, but this is where it starts at, young lion. It starts off, and remember one thing. Whenever you use another name, remember what he says in Isaiah 65, verse 15. What it says we can read in Isaiah 65, 15 there, young lion?
Go to the book of Isaiah. chapter 65, verse 15. The book of Isaiah, chapter 65, verse 15. 15 reads, "And you shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for Yahweh shall slay you and call his servant by another name."
Now you say you're going to leave your name for a curse name. Now here's our case in point. The 12 tribes of Israel got names that we can read in Exodus chapter 1. Go to Exodus chapter 1. Let's read the 12 tribes of Israel. Let's see what is the names of the 12 tribes of Israel in Exodus chapter 1, 1 down to verse 7. Now take notes. Exodus chapter 1, verse 1 down to verse 7. Let's find out what the Bible say. The name of this man that got 12 sons, what is their name? And remember, we are one of them names. Exodus chapter 1, verse 1, Brother Micaiah, what it say? 1 down to 7.
The book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, chapter 1, verse 1 down to 7. Verse 1 reads, "Now these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt. Every man in his household came with Jacob, whose name changed with Israel." Verse 2, "Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah." Verse 3, "Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin." Verse 4, "Dan, and Naphtali, Gad, and Asher." Verse 5, "And all the souls that came out of the loins of Israel were 70 souls. For Joseph was in Egypt already." Verse 6. "Joseph died, and all his brothers, and all that generation." Verse 7. "And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them."
Verse 8 and 9. 8, 9, and 10. Listen, hey, listen good to this 8, 9, and 10. Exodus chapter 1, verse 8, 9, 10. Listen real good. Go ahead.
The book of Exodus, chapter 1, verse 8 to 10. Verse 8 reads, "Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph." Verse 9, "And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we." Verse 10, "Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it comes to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land."
Oh, so look what we're going to find out. So back in the days, the 12 tribes of Israel was in Egypt, and the one just called the Hamites was in Egypt said, "Listen, the children of Israel, they became mighty than us. Come on, let us deal wisely with them. Because if they mess around help the enemy, they're going to mess around and overthrow us." So that's what's going on today. They have dealt wisely with us. Because the Almighty made a statement. He made a profound statement. Mother E, he made a profound statement. It's something he said. And in Leviticus chapter 24, he said something in Leviticus 24 there, Mother. Hey, Mother E, he said something in Leviticus 24. Let's go see what he said. And they had your records. What do 24 verse 1 say, Mother? Then skip down to verse 15 down to verse 17. Let's see what it says, Mother Ian. Leviticus 24 verse 1, skip down to 15 through 17. Take notes. Have that paper spread all out and have your better half sitting there writing it down. Listen, better half. While I'm looking at these scriptures, what you do, you make sure you write these verses down. You write it down. Mm-hmm. That's what you tell it that you better have. You write these verses down and let me follow through this book. So that's how y'all tag team this. All right, 24 verse 1 of Leviticus, then skip down to 15 through 17. What it say? Come on, Mother E.
Leviticus chapter 24, verse 1, 15 to 17. Verse 1. And the Yahweh spoke unto Moses, saying, verse 15, and thus shall speak unto the children of Israel, saying, whosoever curses his Yahweh shall bear his sin. Verse 16. And he that blasphemes the name of the Yahweh, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him as well, the strength, as well the strength. He that is born in the land, when he blasphemes the name of the Yahweh, shall be put to death. Verse 17. And he that kills any man shall surely be put to death.
You see it? So what he's saying, listen, he said, I got a name. And if you tell the children of Israel, the children of the Bible, if anyone of the children of the Bible, the children of Israel, Mother E. In Genesis 49, what he got on the children of Israel that we can read in 49? We go on to 49th chapter, verse 28. He got something on these children of Israel that we need to know. And in the 49th chapter, verse 28, what can we read, Mother E., that we got, that he got on the children of Israel if they do right? They got to do right now. 49:28 says what? Read it.
The book of Genesis, chapter 49, verse 28. Verse 28 reads, all these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is it that their fathers speak unto them and bless them, everyone according to his blessing. He blessed them.
Oh. So all 12 tribes, if they do right, Mother, what they up on if they do right?
Mm-hmm.
All 12 tribes, Mother, if they do right, according to verse 28, what are they up under?
A blessing.
Help me out. Help me out, Mother dear Israel. A what?
A blessing.
All 12 tribes, if you do right, you know how you tell your grandbabies and you tell your kids, listen, if you do right, I don't mind doing this for you, but you got to do right. King, if you don't do right, why do you expect something to happen good for you and you won't do right? So he tells the children of all 12 tribes of Israel, if you do right, you're upon a blessing. But suppose you don't do right, then what you upon? We'll find out. Mother D of Israel, let's run to Numbers chapter 6. Let's hear it again. Listen, if the 12 tribes of Israel, if they do right, they are upon the blessing. And we can show you something, how you do right. We go on to Numbers chapter 6, Mother D of Israel, and we're going to pick it at verse 22 down to verse 27. Listen good. Take note. Remember, especially my brothers on network, you look at that book real carefully, and you have that better half sit there and write them verses down. And you're going to say, okay, you got that. You wrote it down for me, right? Because I got to take a good look at this book. It's a lot of things I've been told, you know, got away from me. I got to bring it back up. So you write these verses down and let me listen real carefully at my brother. What it said in Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 down to verse 27, Mother D up Israel, come on.
Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 to 27, verse 22. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, 23, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying on this wise, you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, 24, Yahweh bless you and keep you, 25, Yahweh make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you, 26, Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, 27, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them.
Now, that's what he gonna say. He said, we know you're going into slavery, and you're going to lose your biblical name. He said, but when you wake up and find out whatever your name is, let it be. At the end of it, put what name at the end of your name, Mother Dear Israel? What do you put at the end of your name when you intercept yourself, when you are among other peoples? What do you tell them that your last name is biblically when you're among other people? What do you say, Mother Dear of Israel?
Israel.
Israel. So at the end of your name, and your government name got to remain to get that check. But when you out in the public, you tell, especially around your grandbabies. Now, grandbaby, this name we got, this is our slave master's name right here. The laws we put on the end of our name, Israel, we got what coming from the Most High, Mother? What we got coming?
A blessing.
A blessing. Let's go to the 44th chapter, Mother Dear of Israel, 44, and let's get a second witness on it. We're going to Isaiah 44. We're going to Isaiah 44, 1 down to verse 5. Isaiah 44, 1 down to verse 5. Take notes. I mean, follow along in that Bible and had a better half write them verses down. Say, look, baby, write them verses down. Don't miss nail one of them verses now. Let me try to find it in this Bible because I'm struggling everywhere trying to find the verses. You make sure you write it down, and I'll get back at it later. So that's how you folks operate. Now, why did I say that? Hold that point right there. Brother Makai, let's go to Luke chapter 1. Verse number, let me show you why I said that. We go on Luke chapter 1. Now, the reason I said that, we go on Luke chapter 1, let me show you what I be saying, it comes out the Bible. Luke chapter 1 should tell us something. And we're going to look at Luke chapter 1, and we're going to see something in the Bible. Remember, everything we say, it comes from the Bible. Luke chapter 1, and we're going to look right down at verse number 5 and verse 6. What does it say that we can read Luke chapter 1, verse 5 and 6? What does it say, young lion, Brother Micaiah?
Book of Luke chapter 1, verse 5 and verse 6. Verse 5 reads, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Yadaju, a certain priest named Zechariah, of the course of Abijah, and his wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Verse 6. And they were both righteous before Yahweh, walking in all the Torah instructions, and Torah instructions of Yahweh blameless.
They were both righteous. So that means when you got a better half, both of you have to be a verse 6. Read verse 6 again.
Okay, Luke chapter 1, verse 6. Verse 6 reads, and they were
read verse
both
6 again.
Righteous. Book of Luke chapter 1, verse 6. Verse 6 reads, and they were both righteous before Yahweh, walking in all Torah instructions, and Torah instructions of Yahweh blameless.
You see that? You both got to be righteous. Now, where we make our mistake at, we understand one thing. When you want something, Now we're going to Ruth, R-U-T-H, chapter 1, 16 through 18. So remember, while you reading the Bible, the better half is writing down the scriptures. Now we're going to find out why so. We're going to Ruth, R-U-T-H, R-U-T-H 1, 16 through 18, Brother Micaiah. Listen real good at this. See, you cannot be unequally yoked with your better half, because sooner or later, all that what you see is going to disappear. But what's going to stand is the mighty one's words. So that's why you have to make sure that if you in the word, you got a better half that's in the word too. And this is what she's supposed to say to you sooner or later. 1:16 through 18. Listen to this. Ruth chapter 1, 16 through 18. Listen real good. What you supposed to say? Come on.
Book of Ruth, R-U-T-H, chapter 1, verse 16 down to verse 18. Verse 16 reads, "And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to return from following after you. For whether you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge, and your people shall be my people, and your Yahuwah, my Yahuwah." Verse 17, "Where you die, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Yahuwah do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part you and me." Verse 18, "When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her."
Is that? So that's when you know you, and that's when you know you're working with something. When your better half looked you eyeball to eyeball and say this to you. She said, "Don't stop me from following you. Whatever you own, I'm on. Whatever your people is doing, if it's right in your eyes, it's right in my eyes. Wherever they're going to bury you, that way they bury me. Whatever you say, that's the end of it." Now, that's when you know you're working with something. So if you don't have a better half to understand, that's why you have to get the information yourself. And your better half will look you eyeball to eyeball and say, "Whatever you own, I'm on." Now, right now, I'm reading this Bible. I'm trying to follow along. What do you want me to do? I want you just write down them verses. That's what you do. You write the verses down. That's how you can help me now. Write them verses down, then we're going to go back over them verses and get a better understanding and more understanding. So there you go. That's the key. Now we're going back to Mother D of Israel in 44th chapter 1 down to verse 6. What it says in Isaiah 44, 1 down to verse 6. What it say that, Mother D of Israel?
Okay. Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah chapter 44. You say you want 1 to 6? I thought you said 5.
Write it down. 44, 1 down to verse 6. Isaiah 44, 1 down to verse 6. Write it down, then kick off. Then find it and kick off.
Isaiah chapter 44, verses 1 to 6. Verse 1 reads, "Yea, now hear, O Israel, my servant, and Israel whom I have chosen." Verse 2, "Thus says Yahuwah, that made you and formed you from the womb, which will help you. Fear not, O Israel, my servant, and thou Israel whom I have chosen." Verse 3, "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your seed, and my blessings upon thine offspring." Verse 4, "And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourse. Verse 5. One shall say, I am Yahweh, and another shall call himself by the name of Israel, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto Yahweh, and surname himself by the name of Israel.
Verse 6.
Okay. Thus says Yahweh, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, Yahweh's host, I am the first, and I am the last. And beside me, there is no Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. Verse 7 and 8. Listen real good. Verse 7 and 8.
Verse 7. And whom as I shall call and shall declare it and set it in order before me, since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto them. Verse 8, fear you not, neither be afraid. Have not I told you from that time and have declared it? Yea.
Mm-hmm. That's what he's saying. That's good enough. Look what the man's saying. He asked, he said, we're going to take care of his business. He said, now, I got it written in his Bible. He said, who's going to be a Psalms 94:16, Mother dear of Israel? Psalms 94:16. Hey, now you look over at your better half, and now you writing these verses down, right? Yeah, because I'm going to tell you something. By writing these verses down, her mind will be exactly where you want her mind at, because to write them verses down, you can't have no, your mind can't drift away. You know why? Because you're not going to be able to write them verses down. So that her mind will be directly on what your mind on, trying to learn this word to help the grandbabies to come. Because when you start visiting your grandkids, you got to lead them a better legacy than leading them a piece of car, piece of house, and a couple of dollars. Lead them the word of the Almighty Yahweh, and you'll be able to help them in time to come. So now, look what it says in 94:16, Mother D of Israel. What does it say that we can read?
Psalms chapter 94, verse 16. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of sin?
You see that? So the question is, who's going to stand up? Who's going to take care of his business? So that's the question on the table. Now, here's the point. You ask the average person, 99% of them, you say, you ask them a question. Look right at them and say, hey, mister or miss, what is your nationality? You know what they're going to say? I'm black. I'm African-American. How are they going to say? When you say you African-American, that come from two white men's names. One of the white men was Leo Scipio Africano. That was a Roman general. He gave you the name called African. The word America come from a man named America Vance Pucci. Vance Pucci. That's who gave you a name called America. So when you say you are African American, you're talking about two white man's names. That is not who you are. You are a member of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, if you say you are black, African American, Negro, or more, then you need the information to understand that who is called by that name is the fourth son of Israel. He got a son called Judah. And he's the lead tribe. And this way it reads on the handouts we passed. Judah, the lead tribe, the fourth son of Israel, now called black, African American, Negro, color, and more. Now you got them names. But look what the Bible says if you identify with the name. Come on, Brother Micaiah. Let's go to Isaiah 65, verse 15. Matter of fact, read Deuteronomy 28:37 and find out that was already told that you were going to make this mistake. We're going to Deuteronomy 28, verse 37. And remember, look at your better half and say, hey, you writing that verse down? Yeah, okay, good. Let me find it in the Bible. Deuteronomy 28:37. What it say, young lion?
It's the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 37. 37 reads, and you shall become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, whether Yahweh shall lead you.
You see that? You'll be astonished, and you'll be a byword. They always going to have a name for you. They always call you African-American, Negro, color, super coon, black. They going to call you push monkey. They going to call you all these names. And he's telling the lead tribe, guess what, Judah? Your descendants way up the road, Judah, especially you, Judah, you're going to have your peoples, everybody seeing them, going to call them every name but the tribe of Judah. As a matter of fact, what do Judah look like that we can read in Jeremiah 14, verse 2? Let's see what Judah, Israel, look like, Brother Micaiah. Let's see what did Jeremiah say that Judah, Israel, what he looked like in Jeremiah 14, verse 2. What he looked like that we can read? Come on.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 14, verse 2. Verse 2 reads, "Now thy Judah mourneth, and the gates thereof languish. They are black unto the ground, and the cry of Yahdah Judah is grown up."
They are black to the ground. That's how they black. And matter of fact, they black. And who they look like in the Bible that we know by watching TV. Let's go to Amos 9, verse 7. Now, who can you compare them to according to the Bible? In Amos chapter 9, verse 7, the whole 12 tribes of Israel, too, if you want to have a comparison. Oh, that sock look like that sock. That's a mate. Okay, good. That shoe look like that shoe. That's a mate. Who in the Bible do the children of Israel compare themselves to that we can read in Amos 9, verse 7? Come on there, young lion. What it say?
The book of Amos, chapter 9, verse 7. Verse 7 reads, "Are you not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, said Yahweh?"
So he compared you to the Ethiopians. He compared you to the Ethiopians. And you've been watching TV all along, and you see the little Ethiopian babies starving, and they was brought over to the land of Israel from captivity. So you know what the Ethiopians look like. The reason why he compared you to the Ethiopians, because he know they was not going to lose their identity. So when you want to know what the biblical Israelites look like, just go on your phone and look up the color of the Ethiopian people. And every last one of them going to be black, but many shades of brown, or black. So he compared the children of Israel, all 12 tribes, to the Ethiopians. That's what you look like before you left that land, before the other nations started mixing in with you. All of you had one base color, all shades of brown. But when the other nations started raping you, taking your babies, selling them, the Pope taking 4 or 5 boys for himself, all this mixing came in. And that's where you get that lighter color from mixing. So when you look at them, you see the blood show through their skin. that's clear that the white man have been there. If you look at anybody and you see the blood soak through their skin, that means their forefathers, your grandmother was raped by them. And that's why you see it with the blood showing through their skin. They can have spray hair, the blood show through their skin, real light. Somewhere down the line, Mr. White Man got a hold to one of your grandmothers. That's how that happened. You got it? Good. So he said you will leave your name for a curse. Now I'm going to show you another name that you're going to be calling yourself, a Mother E. Now here go another name that's going to be a curse name for you. We read in Isaiah 65, verse 15, but here go another name that you're going to be called right before your eyes, but it's a curse name to you, children of Israel. Now the lead tribe is from the tribe of Judah. So if anybody asks you, what's your nationality? You say, I'm an Israelite. Well, what tribe are you from? I'm from the tribe of Judah. You from the tribe of Judah? Oh, you know all that? Yes. I'm an Israelite from the tribe of Judah. My grandfather named Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. See that? You ain't got to go to no, what they call that, ancestor.com. No. Your fathers is Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Mm-hmm. And out of them came you, the tribe of Judah, the lead tribe of the days now. And that's why we setting up a land, school, banquet hall to teach this information for our grandchildren to understand. He opened the door for the six anointed camps to have land every direction. School is on as well, banquet hall and a radio station. But we need you to chip in. Be about this. Be about helping your offspring, if they're already here or to come. That will be about breaking the cycle of this mindset that we have, that we everybody but the people of the book, Israelites from the tribe of Judah, the lead tribe. So now, Mother E, so what names that we was called back in the Bible that we can read by going to Acts chapter 11, verse 26? What it says in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, Mother E, what can we read on the names that we are called today, but it's a cursed name to us? Acts 11, 26, what it say?
The book of Acts, chapter 11, verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it comes to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, the congregation.
The church.
And thought,
with the church. With the church. With the church.
The church.
Some of them said with the church. Go ahead.
And taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch.
You see that? So that's when the word came in, church and Christian and Christianity. After you left your homeland and went to Antioch, so they start calling you the church, the children of Israel, and they start calling you Christian, the children of Israel. So now, by you identifying with a church, identifying with church and Christian, what have you did, Mother E, what have you did in Isaiah 65, verse 15? See, the name that you was given was Judah Israel. But you're not going to identify with your name. So this what you have did, and everybody come in contact with you, this what they received from you. Isaiah 65, verse 15.
Look at Isaiah chapter 65, verse 15. And you shall leave your name for a curse unto my children, for the outward shall slay thee, and call your servant by another name.
What you mean? So who is it chosen that we can read, Mother E? Let's go to Isaiah 40:41. He said, the chosen one going to leave their name for a curse name. They're going to identify with the word called church. They're going to identify with a name called being Christian and Christiana religion. And they're going to identify with names like Lord God, Jesus Christ. They'll identify all them names. So who is he talking about going to do that that we can read? We're going to Isaiah 41, Mother E. We're going to Isaiah 41 and see who's going to fall upon this curse that we can read. We're going to Isaiah 41 and pick it up at verse number 8. And we're going to read down to verse number 11. Let's see what he says in Isaiah 41, 8 down to verse 11 there, Mother E. Isaiah 41, 8 down to verse 11. Let's find out who fell upon this leaving a name for a curse. Isaiah 41, 8 through 11. Mother E, come on.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verses 8 through 11. Verse 8. But thou, Israel, are my servant, Israel whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Verse 9. Thus whom I have taken from the end of the earth, and call thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Verse 10, fear thus not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy Jehovah. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Verse 11. Behold, all they that were increased in sin against thee shall be ashamed and confined. They shall be as nothing, and they that
now, what did he just say? He said, listen, he said, if you come back to the knowledge of the Bible, all the ones that have been manipulating you, have been telling you one thing when there's something else, he said, I'm going to take care of them. He said, but I can't take care of none of them until you come back to yourself. You got to know you from the children of Israel. You got to know you from the tribe of Judah. That is your nationality. But until you know that, he said, I ain't going to do it. I'm going to sit there and watch you. I'm going to watch you do things that is contrary to what I got written. But then I'm going to send some teachers to you to show you one more time. Get me right, and I'll get you right. That's what he's saying. You got to know me. And how you know me? From the pages of the book. That's why he sets up some things, Brother Micaiah. We go on to the 10th chapter of Romans. Listen real good what he sets up in Romans chapter 10. Listen what he says that we can read in Romans chapter 10. Now, look over that better half and say, you writing them verses down? Yeah, I'm writing them down. Okay. You make sure you have them verses down. While I'm trying to find it in the Bible, where is that? You make sure you write them verses down. That's how you can help me. Write these verses down. We're going to Romans chapter 10. And we're going to look at, verse number 11. Let's pick it up. Pick it up at verse 10. We're going to read 10 down to verse 17. Listen real good. And you look back over to your better half and say, hey, and you write these verses down? Yeah, I'm writing it down. Okay, good. Let's see what it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 10 down to verse 17. Come on, Brother Micaiah, come on.
The book of Romans chapter 10, verses 10 down to verse 17. Verse 10 reads, for with the mind man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 11. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him should not be ashamed. Verse 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Yahweh over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Verse 13. For whosoever should call upon the name of Yahweh shall be saved. Verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a teacher? Verse 15.
Stop right there. Stop right there. Hold that point. So, you know, you got a lot of people say, well, I got to get back in my Bible. You can get back in your Bible all you want, but you ain't not going to learn this until you sit up under a teacher. You got to sit up under an elder. You got to sit up under the teachers. Then they will instruct you on what you really reading. So you can read this Bible all you want, but until Mother D.F. Israel, give me Acts chapter 9, verse 29 to 32. Acts chapter 8. Listen real good. Acts chapter 8, verse 29 to 32. Listen real good. Acts chapter 8, 29 to 32. Now, you look back at that better half. Say, is you writing them verses down? Yeah, I'm writing it down. Good. All right. What does it say, Mother B of Israel?
Acts chapter 9, chapter 8, verse 29 to 32. Verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join yourself to this chariot. Verse 30. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the seer Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Verse 31. And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Verse 32. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, so opened he not his mouth.
Mm-hmm. So he was reading that. So he said, listen, the man came up and asked me. He said, I see you read your Bible. The man came up and asked me, I see you read your Bible, but do you know what you're reading? He said, how can I except some man guide me? Listen, you got to be guided by a man. First, a man got to teach you. Bonita Biden do not supposed to be teaching men. A man got to lead the way. That's the job of the man. He must lead the way, especially from the lead tribe. But how can he lead the way if he don't know what he's talking about? Then everything sounds good to him. So you got to get in the congregation and sit down with big ears and little mouth and learn how to help yourself to help your better half. Watch the next verse say. The next verse, 33? What's the next verse say?
33. And his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth.
You still reading? Come out. Give me another verse.
34.
Yeah, 34.
And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray you, of whom speakest the seer bits of himself or of some other man.
You see that? So you see what he did? Although he was reading the Bible, he was reading Isaiah 53 and didn't know what it was about. So let me tell y'all something. You can jump down this Bible all you want. Until you sit up under the right ministry, you'll never understand this Bible until you taught. Now, once you got it, then you go help your better half and so on and so on. But you can't do this by yourself. You have to sit up on a ministry to be learned. Now, once you learn it by a man, then you'll be able to help others. But the man must lead. But he got to know what he's talking about. Because, Mother Dear of Israel, what you got to do in 2 Ezra 14, 34, and 35? Now, a lot of you people don't have 2 Ezra because the Bible, once upon a time ago, had 80 books in it. The white man, the Catholic Church, the white man took out 14 books. So you're going to miss all of this from between Malachi and Matthews because the white man took out 14 books. And that book called Apocrypha, that's what they called it. But it really was a ripoff. They snatched 14 books out. But this was in the book that you need to just listen to. And then once you go on your computer and go ask Amazon about the book called Apocrypha, and they'll send one to you, or you can come by and pick it up at one of the camps. In this book is 14 books that have been taken away from you that you need to have back in your book. And this was taken away from you in 2 Ezra 14, verse 34 and 35. What does it say, Mother D of Israel?
2 Ezra chapter 14, verse 34 and 35. Verse 34. Therefore, if so be that you will subdue your own understanding and reform your mind, you shall be kept alive, and after death you shall obtain mercy. Verse 35. For after death shall the judgment come, when we shall live again, and then shall the name of the righteous be manifest, and the work of the unyakwali shall be declared.
Mm-hmm. He says, he said, after death, that's where you're going to be judged. So you thought when a person died, he just goes somewhere and get some long rest. Nope. More going on than that. There's more going on that. So why a lot of us make you got to know. Once they, a lot of times you go to these churches and they say, well, you know, Sister Sally, she resting real good. Nope. That's when the judgment starts. Read that verse again. Listen real good. That's why you got to get this right. Read that verse again one more time. Read verse 35. 2 Ezra 14, 35, one more time. Read it.
2 Ezra chapter 14, verse 35. For after death shall the judgment come, when we shall live again, and then shall the name of the righteous be manifest, and the works of the unyakwali shall be declared. Listen, verse 34.
That's good right there. He said the name going to be revealed, and guess what? His name is not going to be Lord God, Jesus, or Allah and Buddha. That name would not be revealed. That name would not be revealed. Now, you know, you want to know what name going to be revealed? It's already written, but you got to come grips with it. In 1:16:13 there, Mother Dear of Israel, 1:16, verse 13, this is the name that's going to be revealed, but it's revealed to you now. But it's hard for us to believe it because we went all our life thinking that the Most High name is Lord God and Jesus. We're going to Psalms 1:16, verse 13. What does it say?
Psalms 1:16, verse 13. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of Yahweh.
The name, how many letters is the name? How many letters is that?
Four letters. YHWH.
So that's the name. Now, on the right side of the book called the New Testament, what it says in 4:12 about that one name, Mother D.F. Israel, what do Acts 4:12 says about that one name? Let's see what we can read. Now, look over to the better half and say, hey, is you writing these verses down? Yeah, I'm writing it down. Good. What it say that we can read in Acts 4:12?
Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Let me read. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
So the only name going to get you saved, the only name for salvation is the four letters, YHWH. You can't use no other name. If you come out, well, I want to be saved in it once the hereafter. If you ain't got the name right, you will not be saved. That's why it's so important to understand these things. You got to get the name right. Because ain't but one name going to get you salvation. Now, what it says in Isaiah 42, verse 8. What it says, Mother D.F. Israel, that we can read. So you tell those that listen to you the name that we've been using is not going to get us saved. The name going to get us saved is the one name, YHWH. Now you take that name and take your telephone and just put it in the phone and see what that name means. Or just ask your phone, what is God's true name? And guess what? Phone will tell you. It's ready. All you do is take your old cell phones you got and go to Google, wherever you call it, say, hey, Mr. Telephone, what is God's true name? In the comeback, YHWH, Yahweh. It's right there at your fingertips. Lord God and Jesus is not the name. Them the names that you have been manipulated. But look what he told Isaiah to see in 42 verse 8. What did he say, Mother dear of Israel? And young lion, have me, Isaiah 29, verse 9 through 13, waiting on me.
Isaiah
42, verse 8. What did it say?
Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8. I am Yahweh, that is my name, and my honor will I not give to another, neither my praises to graven images.
And what's a graven image? A cross around your neck. A cross on your dashboard. Going to church and seeing the man that's standing up there, he got a cross right over his roster, a cross. That's a graven image. You said, I'm not giving no greatness, no glory to a graven image. So those that got a cross around their neck and they go sit in the church and see crosses all over the place, he said, what he said again in verse 42, verse 8. Now you asked the better half. Is you writing that verse down? Yeah, I'm writing it down. Good. 42, verse 8, one more time.
Acts 42, verse 8. I am Yahweh, that is my name, and my greatness will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images.
Graven images, what you have around your neck, what they have on their dashboard, what they have on their mirror, a graven image. That's a graven image. He said, you got that gone for yourself, but I ain't got nothing to do with that. There's right there in 42 verse 8. So go back over that verse again in 42 verse 8. Now, we know that we've been told about that cross. But hold that point 29, and let me do a little high horse teaching right now. Let's see what's supposed to be there instead. You know what? When you got a cross around your neck, it's no different to have another electric chair around your neck. Both of them got the same symbol, death. A cross and a electric chair is death. So when you got a cloth around your neck, you might well have an electric chair around your neck. Same thing. But let's go find out what really happened in the Bible. Let's see what really happened. But Micaiah, hold that point. Let's go and see exactly that our Almighty, when he got slew and killed, exactly what was he hanging on? Was he hanging on a cross? What do the Bible, what do the records say he was hanging on? Let's see what we can read by going to Acts chapter 5, verse 20, read verse 12 and 29 and 30. Let's see what we can really find out what really happened. Let's reconstruct back what really happened on our Savior by going to Acts chapter 5, verse 12, 29 and 30. What does it say that we can read there? Now, remember, look over at your better hand and say, hey, is you writing them verses down? Yeah, I'm writing it down. 5, verse 12, 29 and 30. What does it say?
The book of Acts chapter 5, verse 12, 29 and 30. Verse 12 reads, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Sodom's courts. Verse 29.
Stop right there. That's the key. That's the game changer right there. You have to be on one accord. It can't be what you're doing over here and somebody doing something. No, you got to be on one accord. You got to be sitting in one of the six anointed camps of both or two as a light on one accord. You got to have big ears and a little mouth. Now, if you got big ears and a little mouth, watch what you're getting ready to hear in verse 29 and 30. What does it say?
Okay, the book of Acts, chapter 29 and verse 30. 29 reads, and Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey Yahuwah rather than man. Verse 30. The Yahuwah of our father raised up the Yahuwah the son, whom you slew and hanged on a tree.
Wait a minute. What did you hang him on?
A tree.
Who you slew and hanged on a tree.
Wait a minute. And we got a cross around our neck, and the eyewitness say, y'all hung him on a what?
Tree.
On a tree.
Oh. Well, we know we got, that's only one witness. Look at WCC. Now, see, now you messing up. Now, that ain't but one witness. We got to get the second witness. Okay, WCC. We'll give you a second witness. You want a second witness that they was hanging on a tree? Let's go to Acts 13, verse 29 and 30. There, y'all online. See, WCC is 500 million members. They log into the broadcast, and they love to try to catch those seer in something. But all they're going to be is catch in some learning. Let's find out. Because if you walk around with a cross around your neck, that ain't got nothing to do with the mighty one. What do the eyewitness say in Acts chapter 13, verse 29 and 30? What it say?
Okay. The book of Acts, chapter 13, verses 29 and verse 30. 29 reads, and when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in the
what?
In the chapel.
What did they do? Wait a minute. They took him down from the cross? You mean after he had finished all the business he was to be taken for the children of Israel, the eyewitness done what with him? And what verse?
And they took him down from the tree.
Ain't that something? You mean he was on a tree and I got a cross around my neck? You mean they took him down from the tree? So they didn't take him down from the cross. See, that's when the other nations get in there and mess you all up. They took him down. The eyewitness said they took him down from what?
They took him down from the tree.
Then what happened next in verse 30?
Verse 30. But Yahuwah raised him from the dead.
So what Yahuwah raised up him from the dead? Yahuwah the Father raised him up from the dead. Now the reason why Yahuwah the Father raised him up from the dead that we can read, Mother E, let's see why Yahuwah the Father raised him from the dead. Let's run over here to the book called St. John chapter 14. Verse 28. Why did Yahuwah the Father raised up Yahuwah the Son from the dead? Why did he do so that we can read in the book of St. John 14, verse number 28? What did it say there, Mother E?
The book of St. John, chapter 14, verse 28. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go to my Father, for my Father is greater than I.
Ain't that something? You know what he said? Because my Father is greater than me. He said, I know y'all seen me doing all that good stuff, but my Father is greater than me. So, and what do we say is in Isaiah 53, verse 12, that Mother E. So you see, Yahuwah the Son got a father that's greater than him. So Joseph was not his father. You believe the man what the man said. Yahuwah the Son said, my Father is greater than me. That's the one raised me from the dead, not Joseph. Joseph ain't raising nobody from the dead. See? Yahuwah the Father raised you from the dead. So now, but he had a promise already was told to him, Mother E. The promise was in Isaiah 53, verse 12. What was the promise that the Father told Isaiah to put in writing about his son? Isaiah 53, verse 12, what did it say?
Book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressions. And he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors.
You see that? So go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Mother dear Israel, Philippians 2, 5. Had that 5 through 11 waiting on me. So you see what happened? So it was already prophesied that my son going to come in the flesh. And if he do right and do what I tell him to do and go on get that whooping real good, I'm going to raise him from the dead. Joseph cannot make no promise. Joseph wasn't back there talking to Isaiah. So he said, you get down there and you let them Romans, the white folks beat you out the head and pull on your beard, kick you all in the ring and put a purple garment on you. Let all that happen. Now, when all that happened to you, and then once they take you down from the tree and put you in the sepulchre, I'm going to raise you up from the dead. That was the Father said he was going to do. Then for you being obedient to me, I'm going to give you a portion with the strong, with the great. And you're going to give the portion to the strong. Now, who the strong is that we can read? Hold that point. Young lion, give me the book of Joshua chapter 1 and pick a verse 5 down to verse 8. Let's see who will be the strong. See, here's the point. Now, what make you strong? Let's see what the Bible say make you strong. See, you got to have this information. Your grandbaby's going to come and sit down on your lap. The granddaddy, who are we? If you tell them we happy to get married to a Negro, shame on you. If they see you with a cross around your neck, shame on you. That you've been manipulated. It's time to break that spell, and let's get down to business. Let's see who will be the strong that hear this message and make their move. We go on to the book of Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, down to verse 8, and look over at the better half. Say, hey, did you write these verses down? Yeah. Good. 1, 5 through 8 of Joshua. Come on now, young lion.
The book of Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 down to 8. Verse 5 reads, there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall you divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their father to give them. Verse 7, only be you strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper rather soever you go. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein night and day, for day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosper, and then you shall have good success.
Now, what are you saying? He's saying, now look, be strong. He's talking to the ones that understand this word, be strong. That means meditating in his book day and night. You know you got to go to work and whatever, but keep that in your mind when you get home. You tell old better head, you got them books spread. Let's get back in them books. See, you got to get back in them books and meditate in these books, because these books is going to help you understand something. See, the books is going to help you. Meditate in the books. Now, David waited a while and pulled that verse. He'll tell you about why you're supposed to stay in your Bible. Let's go to Psalms 1:1 down to verse 3. See, you got to meditate in this book day and night. You got to be in the right ministry. Then you got to remember what he's saying out of take number 144. Now, look what he says in Psalms 1:1 down to verse 3 there. Young mind, what he say?
The book of Psalms, chapter 1, verse 1 down to verse 3. Verse 1 reads, blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of the unyahwah, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of Yahweh, and in his law do he meditate day and night. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he do shall prosper.
You see that? So when you take the lead, if you stay in this book day and night, every chance you get, you ain't got time for that loose talk. You know, the days of old, that's a good thing. But don't put too much time in the days of old. Stay in this book, because a lot of work we got to do to help the people that's coming. So that means you got to stay in the law and what that's supposed to mean, and show you something else you're supposed to do. Let's go to Leviticus 23, that young line, 1, 2, and 3. Listen real good. Leviticus 23, 1, 2, and 3. What does it say?
And over to the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, verses 1, verse 2, and verse 3. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, verse 1, reads, and Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of Yahweh, with you shall proclaim to be righteous gathered. Even these are my feet. Verse 3. 6 days shall work be done, But the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and righteous gathering. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of Yahweh in all your dwellings.
Now, what are you going to say? Now, you said, look, you got 6 days to take care of all your business. But on the Sabbath day, that's the Sabbath day of rest and a holy convocation. That means a rest from the world of them 6 days, and that 7 day start when the sun go down on Friday to the sun go down on Saturday. That's the day you're supposed to springboard your life from, the Sabbath day. You're supposed to make sure you're in a class when the sun go down on Friday and a return class at 12 o'clock. Now you're in the will of your mighty one. Now you're doing what he say. 6 days you work. 1 day you put on him. But the white man changed your day to Sunday, which is the wrong day. The white man gave you Sunday, but your day of the Bible, the blessed day, is in Genesis 2, verse 3. What it say we can read? Hey, Mo, D up Israel. What can you read in Genesis 2, verse 3? Now, you look over your better half and say, hey, baby, is you writing that down? Because I remember you taking me to some church on Sunday. Look, we ain't going to do things wrong. We're going to do things right from now on, the wrong day. We're going to find out what the blessed day is right now in Genesis 2, verse 3. What does it say, Mother D up Israel? What's the blessed day?
Genesis chapter 2, verse 3. And Yahweh blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his works, which Yahweh created and made.
So what day did he bless there, Mother D up Israel? According to Genesis 2, verse 3, what day did he bless?
The seventh day.
So if he blessed the seventh day, and imagine you going on a job on the wrong time and the wrong hour, how much blessing you got coming. You know one thing, you don't cost that man to give you that paycheck, right? If he tell you what time to be there, you're going to be there. But you go there when you get ready on days that he tell you not to be there, how long you going to get a paycheck? That's the same thing we got salvation going. If we going to worship on the wrong day, wrong from wrong, leave wrong. You know how you tell your grandbabies? Don't hang on the corner because anything might happen. Police might pull you over and want to jump on you. Well, Mama, I don't hang on the corner. Don't hang on the corner. So what we're telling you, the blessed day is not Sunday. Sunday, now all you got to do now, take that old phone of yours and say, what day is number seven? They're going to come back and tell you. Then if you got a candle hanging on in your kitchen, look all the way to your far left-hand corner. You see Sunday. Sunday is number one. All the way over to your far right, you see Saturday. That's the blessed day. So you see how we've been manipulated? We've been going to worship on Sunday, which is the first day, but the blessed day is number seven. So we got that wrong. So how long you think you can do wrong on your job and keep on getting a paycheck? You said not long. That's right, not long. What we're telling you, the blessed day is Genesis 2:3. That's number seven. You take your telephone and just say, phone, what day is number seven? It'll say the seventh day of the week, Saturday. Then why we been going to church on the first day? We've been manipulated again. See, it's time to break that cycle of being manipulated. Now, what it says that we can read your young line in Leviticus 24, verse 1 and 8. Leviticus 24, verse 1 and 8. Now, look over at your sweetheart and say, hey, you writing that down? Yeah, I'm writing it down. Good. 24, 1 and 8. What it say in Leviticus?
The book of Leviticus, chapter 24, verse 1 and verse 8. Verse 1 reads, and Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 8, every Sabbath he shall set it in order before Yahweh continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant.
He said every Saturday, which is the Sabbath day, you set that in order before Yahuwah, continuously taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. You spring forth your life from the Saturday class. If you really want to double up, you get the Friday class too. We got a Friday class in all six locations, and we got a Saturday class in all six locations. It's up to you. The more you get, the better off for you to help your loved ones and everybody come in contact with you. But the Almighty said every Saturday, you be in one of the congregation, huh? When the sun go down on Friday, it's the beginning of the Sabbath day. When the sun set again, it's the end of it. Friday night to Saturday night is the Sabbath day. That we can read in 31, verse 12, down to verse 18. What it say, y'all lying? We're going to Exodus 31. Read verse 1 to get warmed up and skip down to verse 12 through 18. And mother D up Israel, have me Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 through 5, 10 through 12, and 19 and 20. Have that waiting on me, mother D up Israel. Exodus chapter 20, 1 through 5. Get down to 10 through 12 and 19 and 20 after the young read Exodus 31 verse 1. Then skip down to 12 through 18. Come on.
Book of Exodus, chapter 31, verse 1. And skip it down, reading verses 12 down to 18. Verse 1 read, and Yahuwah spake unto Moses, saying, verse 12 reads, and Yahuwah spake unto Moses, saying, verse 13, speak you also unto the children of Israel, saying, truly my Sabbath you shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generation, that you may know that I am Yahuwah that do sanctify you. Verse 14, you should keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is righteous unto you. Everyone that defile it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever do any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Verse 15. 6 days work be done, but the Sabbath is the Sabbath of rest, righteous to Yahuwah. Whosoever do any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Verse 16. Wherefore the children of Israel should keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant. Verse 17. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days Yahuwah made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Verse 18, and he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communion with him upon Mount Sinai, two tablets of testimony, tables of stones written with the finger of Yahuwah.
So he done the same thing your boss do on your check. Your boss signed his name on your check, right? And you say, that's good. I know I can cash this check. Guess what? The boss man of heaven and earth signed his name on the Sabbath day. Huh? What about that check? That check is spiritual. You know when your boss man, when they give you that check on whatever you direct deposit or whatever, they give you a check, right? And you see your boss signature on it, you say, I know this check is good. But guess what? He put his signature on the Sabbath day. When the sun go down on Friday to the sun go down on Saturday. That's his day of worship. How many checks you going to get before he shut you down? Precept that to the 16th chapter there, young line of Exodus. Look at the 16th chapter, verse 26 through 28 and 30. We're going to Exodus chapter 16, verse 26 down to verse 28 and verse 30. What does it say?
Swing it on over to Exodus chapter 16, verse 26 down to 28 and verse 30. The book of Exodus chapter 16, verse 26. 26 reads, 6 days you shall gather, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. Verse 27, and it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. Verse 28, and Yahweh said unto Moses, how long refuse you to keep my Torah instruction? Verse 30. So the people rested on the seventh day.
And the people rested on the Sabbath day. The people rested on the Sabbath day. The rest from what? The world. They put the world to the side. It's no, baby. Put the world to the side. Let's go get in this Bible and let's get us a blessing. We got to lead by example because the grandbaby's going to come by and we got to show the grandbaby the right way. We can't show the grandbaby the right way with a big cross around our neck and hollering Lord God and Jesus. They didn't speak English. So how could they call Lord God and Jesus? English words. They called it Yahweh, Y-H-W-H. Put in your computer Y-H-W and see what it means. Now, pull up historical documents on about that YHWH there, young lion. How they ran a computer check on his name called YHW. Can you compare this name to anything? We're going to look at the recorded history on his name. Now, they ran a computer check on his name called YHWH. And what they come up with that we can read there, young lion? Come on. What they come up with? Historical document on the name YHWH, a computer check was ran about this name. Let's see, can you compare this name to any other name? You know, like Lord God and Jesus. What did it say? Come on.
Okay, I'm getting it right now. It's the what does YHWH stand for? Abbreviation to define YHWH. WH, acronym finder. One verified definition for YHWH. Our actions have zero unverified meanings for YHWH, Yahweh.
No meaning for that name. It's no other name, no substitute, no other name. They read that name and a data. And see, could any name compare with the YHWH name? They say, it doesn't come back. It come back zero. No comparison. So you can't compare this name with no other name. So when you call on Lord, God, Jesus, you can't compare no name to YHWH. Hey, baby, you put that name down. Put that down. I got it down. Okay, good. YHWH. And do your research on YHWH. Then you're going to find out all the other names that come out your mouth, you're going to leave it alone. Now, Mother D of Israel, over there in Ezekiel chapter 21 through 5, 10 through 12, and 19 through 20. Let's see what you're working with that we can read. Come on.
You said Exodus. Okay, you said Ezekiel chapter 20.
Verse 1 through 5, skip down to 10 through 12, 19 and 20.
Okay.
See, a mouth can say anything. A mouth can say anything.
Well, I'm writing down
what the mouth. All right, write down what the book says. You know, every now and then, O.C., he might quote a wrong verse, but you're supposed to say, wait a minute, he must mean Exodus. I'm well, a verse he must be talking about Exodus 20, 1 through 5, I mean Ezekiel. See, again, Ezekiel 20, 1 through 5, 10 through 12, 19 and 20. There you go. Ezekiel chapter 20, 1 through 5. Skip down 10 through 12, 19 and 20. What it say?
Ezekiel chapter 20, 1 through 5, 10, 12, 19 and 20. Okay, here I go. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 1. And it came to pass in the seventh year, in the fifth month, and tenth day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of Yahweh and sat before me. Verse 2. Then came the word of Yahweh unto me, saying, verse 3, Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel, say unto them, Thus says Yahweh, Are you come to inquire of me? As I live, says Yahweh, I will not be inquired of by you. Verse 4, Will thou judge them, son of man? Will thou judge them? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers. Verse 5, And say unto them, Thus says Yahweh, In the day when I chose Israel and lifted up my hand unto the seed of the family of Israel and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up mine hand unto them, saying, I am Yahweh, your Yahweh. Verse 10. Wherefore, I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. Verse 11. And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgment, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. Verse 12. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between me and them, that they may know that I am Yahweh that sanctified them. Verse 19. I am Yahweh, your Yahweh. Walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. Verse 20. And hallow my Sabbath, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am Yahweh, your Yahweh.
Yeah. So he says, if you're not keeping the Sabbath day, you don't have a sign. You know, the gangbangers got signs, the vice lords, the Blackstone Rangers, all the Lagoon Squad gangs, they got signs. Guess what? The Almighty got signs, too. Guess what? If you ain't keeping the Sabbath day, you ain't got his signs. Sabbath day when the sun go down on Friday to the sun go down on Saturday. So if you're not keeping the Sabbath day, you don't have his sign. The sign between me and you, what day is that? The Sabbath day. Sun go down on Friday, sun go down on Saturday. That's the Sabbath day. Springboard your life from the Sabbath day. Now, Mother E, let's run to Galatians chapter 1, 6 through 9. And we're going to get ready to bag it down and bring the elder in and Mother Z to address this national audience shortly. So in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9, Mother E, what does it say that we can read?
Okay. The book of Galatians, chapter 1. Come back. Galatians chapter 1, 6 through 9.
Yes, ma'am. What it say in Galatians chapter 1, 6 through 9? What it say that, Mother?
The book of Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9, verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you to this covenant of Yahweh unto another covenant. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would present this gospel of Yahweh the Son, verse 8. But though we are an angel from heaven, teaching any other gospel unto you than that which we have taught unto you, let him be a curse.
Let it be a curse. Let it be a curse. He said, if anybody bring anything other than what you hear in the night, anything different, let it be a curse. That's what he said. Let it be a curse. Keep on reading.
Mm-hmm. Verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man teaches any other covenant unto you than that we have received, let him be a curse. Verse 10.
Let him be a curse. If anybody bring you, well, let's go to church. Well, what day are you going? I'm going on Sunday. Now, that's a curse. I ain't going on. Now, we go Friday night to Saturday night. If you're going on Sunday, that's the wrong day. That's a curse day. That's not the Bible day. The Bible day is Saturday. Friday night, Saturday night. That's the Bible day. If they take you, well, we going to church with my auntie, my mama. What day are you going on? Sunday. That's the wrong day. I ain't going. That's the wrong day. That's a cursed day. That's a work day. It's just a man on set up the church day to be with us. Now, back up, my mother, and give me a Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Galatians 3, 1. Go forward, 3, 1. And skip down to verse 10 and 13. We're going to Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, 10, and 13. What does it say?
Okay. The book of Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, verse 10, and 13. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Who is Galatians? Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes that was has been evident set before certain crucified among you. Verse 4.
He said, you foolish. He said, you foolish Galatians. He said, who tricked you to be doing things contrary to the Bible? Who told you his name was the Lord God and Jesus? Who told you Sunday was the day? Who told you he was hanged on a cross? Who be with you? Who nuked you in the head? Who did it? Verse 10.
Verse 10. For as many as of the work of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in the things which are written in the book of the law to do them.
He said, hold on. He said, well, you know it or not, if you're not going to do what's in the book, you're upon a curse. He said, you won't be upon a curse if you're not doing what the book telling you to do. And and if you're doing the law of sacrificing, killing animals, come out, you can get justified through that, you're upon a curse. He said, you're not doing the way I got it written. You're just walking around, and you're walking around death sentence. You're upon a curse, according to verse 10. Now, then he's going to turn around and look at them real carefully in verse 13. And what he said to them, eyeball to eyeball in verse 13. Galatians 3, 13, what did he say?
The book of Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. That was the Son has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on the tree.
Mm-hmm.
Hanging on the what? Hang on to what, Mother Eve? I mean, Mother Eve, what was Christ, what was Yahweh the Son hanging on?
Hanging on the tree.
He was hanging on the tree. He was hanging on the tree. He got up, they put him on a tree and hung him on a tree. They didn't hang him on no cross. They hung him on a tree. They done the same thing when you watch the movies called Mississippi Burning and Back in the South. They come out and watch. They throw the rope over the thing and hang you on a tree. That's the same thing he was hung on, the tree. Is you reading that? Now they pull that verse from somewhere, Mother Eve. We're going to pause after this. Where that verse come from in Deuteronomy 21? So to know that they was hanged on a tree, this is the New Testament. That from the Old Testament. Let's go to Deuteronomy 21 and see what...
23.
And what does it say that we can read in Deuteronomy 21:23?
Deuteronomy chapter 21:23. His body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accused of Yahweh, that they
are cursed.
Yahweh, that the land be not defiled, which Yahweh, your Yahweh, give thee for an inheritance.
Yes. He said, otherwise, he was prophesied to be hung on a tree. And when you hang on a tree, you got to get him down before the morning comes because you can defile the land. So when they hung you back in the days of old, matter of fact, we're going to read later on where hanging come from after we take a little break. We're going to read where hanging first started from in the Bible. You know, do you know in the Bible is written where hanging first started from and who started hanging first? We'll read that when we come back after the break. So, remember, if you got a cross around your neck, take that garbage and throw it in the garbage can. Because that's never happened. He was hung on a tree, according to the eyewitnesses. And you got to keep the Sabbath day. Sabbath day when the sun go down on Friday, sun go down on Saturday, you springboard your life from the Sabbath day. And what else we learn? That his name is not the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not his name. His name is the four letters, YHWH. That is his name. That is the blessed name. And Sunday is the wrong day. So if anybody come and say, let's go to worship on Sunday, you say, no, that's the wrong day. You missed the day. The worship day is when the sun goes out on Friday to Saturday. Now, the sixth anointed council of bosses of the true Israelite got classes that we'll be closer to. Get into one of them camps and sit down and learn something to be able to help yourself and your better half, and the better half help the grandbabies. Got it? Good. We're going to pause right there and bring our elder in and tell you all about this broadcast. Then we're going to bring in Mother Z, and she's going to address this national audience, over 500,000 plus, on what the Almighty put on her to tell you. Mother Z will be coming up shortly after Elder Mr. Tills let you know who bring you this broadcast. Elder, you're back on the clock. Come on. Elder Tibbs, you're back on the clock. Come on. What you saying, WCC? Here. But what you on talk tonight, we going to mute the elder. Bypass the elder, and we might let the mother give a commentary. Well, let's see. All right, Elder Tibbs, you've been mute for tonight's broadcast, so we'll catch you on the big station. Now, Mother Z, we know you heard a whole lot tonight, Mother Z. You heard a whole lot, and I know you got a good commentary to address this national audience over 500,000 plus. So now, Mother Z, Yahweh be to that seed, Roy.
Yahweh bless and keep you. Israel or royalty. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, I know you heard a whole lot of conversation today. Now you stand before over 500,000 on the international side computers. Imagine how many in the room with them. So what you got to tell this national audience, take your time and talk to the national audience. You on the clock. Come on.
Well, I'm just going to read for the national audience Psalms 103, and it reads, verse 1, bless the Yahweh, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his righteous name. Verse 2, bless the Yahweh, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Verse 3, who forgave all things iniquity, who healed all disease. Verse 4, who redeemed the life from destruction, who crowned them with loving kindness and tender mercy. Verse 5, who sacrificed their mouth with good things so that the young is rewarded like the eagle. Verse 6, the Yahweh execute righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Verse 7, he made known his way unto Moses, his act unto the children of Israel. Verse 8, the Yahweh is mercy and gracious, slow to anger, and plenty in mercy. Verse 9, he will not always, see, neither will he keep his anger forever. Verse 10, for he has not dealt with us after our sin, neither rewarded us according to our iniquity. Verse 11, for as the heavens is higher above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Verse 13, like as a father pity his children, so the Yahweh pity them that fear him. Verse 14, for he knoweth our faults. For he knoweth our, if he remember that we are dust. Verse 15, as for men, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he faded away. I'm going to stop at verse 16. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. And that's what I would just like to read for the national audience tonight. Well, it reads down from 1 to verse 22. And I'm going to stop it right there at 16 and say, hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. That was excellent. That was excellent, Mother D. And one thing, Mother D addressed this mass in only 6 days a week. And the one thing about it, we're here to try to help you understand, listen, it's time for us to wake up out of this sleep that we're in. We're in a bad sleep. And we got to get about this dream that we think we caught on these names called Lord God and Jesus and keep Sunday and wear cloths around our neck. That's a dream. That's what gets you thrown in the bottom of the lake of fire. And all the way you're going to come out of it, you got to put all that stuff down. Matter of fact, we'll read that. From Micaiah, but before we read that, let's see who, let's see who messed us up. Let's see if anything prophesies about who messed us up anyway. To have us doing all this wicked stuff that we're doing today. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 29 there, Mother E. We look at verse 9 down to verse 14. No, 9 and 13. We're going to Isaiah 29. What? Let's see who behind what is already prophesied or foretold that somebody going to come and duke you real good. They're going to duke you up and have you thinking that his name is Jesus. Lord and God, when his correct name is Yahweh. They're going to duke you up real good and say, we're going to worship on Sunday when it's supposed to be on Saturday. We're going to duke you real good on thinking that he was hung on a cross and not hanging on a tree. You'll be duked real good. But we're here to help you come out of this thing. Matter of fact, hold that point, Mother E. Run to Romans chapter 13, verse 11 down to 14. Hold that point. We'll come back with that later. Run to Romans chapter 13 and pick up at 11 down to verse 14. See, it's time for us to come out this deep sleep we're in. We're a deep sleep of Christianity, white man Jesus, and black man Jesus. Both of them name is wrong. His name is Yahweh the Son. It's time to wake up out that sleep. Watch what Mother E reads right now when she go to Romans 13, 11 down to verse 14. What does it say there, Mother E?
The book of Romans, chapter 13, verse 11 to 14. Verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Verse 12. The night is first in. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Verse 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rottenness and in drunkenness, not in temperance and wantonness, not in strife and envy. Verse 14. But put ye on the Yahweh and make not provision for the flood. To fulfill the love thereof.
So he's telling you gotta put off this you gotta come out of this darkness, this deep sleep you're in. Mother run over to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6 down to 14 to close the statement there, Mother. Hey Mother E, how about looking at Ephesians chapter 5? Verse 6 down to 14 in a closing statement. You on the clock. Come on.
Okay. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6 to 14. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things comes the wrath of Yahweh upon the children of disobedience. Verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness in darkness, but now are ye in light in the Yahweh, walk as children of light. Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto Yahweh. Verse 11, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Verse 12, for it is a shame even to the feet of those things which are done of them in secret. Verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whosoever doeth make manifest his light. For whosoever do make manifest his light. Verse 14. Wherefore he said, awake thou that sleep, and arise from the dead, and Yahweh shall give thee light.
So you say you gotta rise from the dead. Then the Almighty gonna give you some light. You gotta rise from the dead. I mean, you gotta put off that dead state. The end time you don't know its true name. That means you can't help your grandbabies with the true name. If you don't know the day you're supposed to worship upon, you cannot help your grandbabies. If you don't know what day the Sabbath day is, you can't help your grandbabies. So you gotta make sure you get the proper information for your grandbabies and those who come in contact with you. If we get it right, then you got a blessing coming. If you continue with somebody else duking you by telling you all type of days that's not correct, you're in trouble. And another thing you got to do once you know that you are the children of Israel and you from the tribe of Judah is something else you got to do. After mother give her closing. So mother, what's your closing thing behind that? We catch you on the top part of the Saturday. So mother E, what's your closing behind that? You on the clock, come on.
Just thanking and praising Yahweh for another class. Thanking and praising Yahweh for the teachers, for the seer. And thanking and praising Yahweh that he allowed me to be in the class. And thanking and praising Yahweh for the class. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Verse 38, speak unto the children of Israel and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generation, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue, 39. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the Torah instructions of Yahuwah and do them, and that you seek not after your own mind and your own eyes, after which you used to go a whoring, verse 40, that you may remember and do all my Torah instructions and be righteous unto your Yahuwah, verse 41. I am Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your Yahuwah. I am Yahuwah, your Yahuwah.
So he's saying, I'm your Yahuwah. He said, now bid the children of Israel. I gave the children of Israel a dress code. The dress code is fringes. He said, bid them, tell them to put on some fringes. And the fringes is 22 verse 12 of Deuteronomy. Let's see what it says in 22 verse 12, the fringes. Let's see what we got in 22 verse 12. He said, make sure the children of Israel wear fringes on the border of their clothes. What are you talking about? We'll find out a little bit more by going to Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 12.
Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 12. Thou shalt make you fringes upon the four corners of your vesture, wherewith thou coverest yourself.
So fringes supposed to go around your garments, and your t-shirts will have fringes on it. We'll show you more about that when you come to visit one of the six anointed camps about fringes. The Almighty said, put the fringes on, because that's one sign he looked for, because he gave you a dress code. Now, he wouldn't give you a dress code unless you could read where he had fringes on. Now, Brother Micaiah, look up the word called him. Look up in your Bible dictionary and tell me what the word him means. Use the word, what that word means. Because when we read that word, we understand exactly what's going on. Look into your Bible dictionary and look the word him. What that word means.
Okay. Okay, going to the Bible Compact Bible Concordance Dictionary, looking up the word him on page 224. Him, fringes of the borders of Yadat Judah, out of garments.
Right. Fringes on the border of your garments. Fringes. Now, let's go to the ninth chapter of Matthew and see what's going on that we can read. Let's see what's going on that we can read, Mother. We're going to the Matthew chapter 9, and we're going to pick up at verse number 18. Pick up verse 18 down to verse number 22. Let's see what it says that we can read out of the Bible. Now, look over at the better half there. Baby, you putting it down? We got to find what that word fringes mean. I mean, it's too late. That we got to get this right. We on burnt candles many years been mistaught. Now, let's see if we help ourselves, and when the grandbabies come by and visit us, we better help them. So what do you mean by hinges? What are you talking about? We're going to the ninth chapter, take it verse 18 down to verse 22. What does it say there? Nothing. Yeah. Take it up down to verse 22. Let's see what it says in Matthew chapter 9. 18 to 22. Matthew 9, 18 to 22. What
does
it say?
Matthew chapter 9, verse 18 through 22. Verse 18. while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshiper and worshiped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay your hand upon her, and she shall live. Verse 19. And Yahuwah the Son arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Verse 20. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. Verse 21. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Verse 22. But Yahuwah the Son turned himself about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour.
You see that? So look up that definition word, hems again. She touched the border of his garment. She touched the hem of his garment. What that word mean again? What the word hem mean again? You're talking about the one that you call Jesus Christ. The one you call that pagan name called Jesus Christ. She said, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. What did they talk about? The hem of his garment. What is that?
Reading from the Compact Bible Dictionary on page 224. Hem of a garment. Fringes.
Fringes. He said, if I can touch fringes. So he wasn't wearing the James 2:3, the gate clothing. He didn't have on no suit and tie. He had on fringes. He had a garment on with fringes. And she said, if I can touch the hem of his garment, which means fringes, I know I will be whole. Because if anybody teach that you're supposed to wear no fringes, that's a blessing that we have been shown on. So all the six anointed camps are voices of the true Israelites, especially on class days, we wear fringes. Because that's what the Almighty has required us to wear is fringes. Because it's a blessing is in the fringes. Now, we get a case in point. Mother, let's go to the fifth chapter. Let's get a case in point. How important it is to wear fringes. We're going to Acts chapter 5, and we'll get a case in point. See, when you've got fringes on, listen to this conversation that we can read out of Acts chapter 5. Now, in Acts chapter 5, Mother D.F. Israel, we're looking for a statement. We'll pick it up around by verse number 11. We'll read down. We're going to Acts chapter 5, verse 11. We'll read down. Now, look at your better hand and say, hey, better hand, is you putting that down? You putting that down? Yeah, I'm putting it down. Good. Let's pick it up at Acts chapter 11. I mean 5, verse 11. Come on.
Acts chapter 5, verse 11. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Verse 12. And by the hand of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Verse 13. And of the rest, there is no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. Verse 14. And the believers were the more added to too, Yahuwah's multitude, both of men and women. Verse 15. And so much that they brought forth the sick into the street and laid them on beds and couches, that all the least, I mean, and that at least the shadow of Peter passed by might overshadow some of them. Verse 16. There came also a multitude out of the city round about unto Yagda, bringing sick folk and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Verse 17.
That's good. And see, Peter had on his garment, and his garment had some fringes on. And if people knew that they faith was so heavy, if they said, if we just get in the shadow, well, that man coming out with them garments on, with them fringes on it, we're going to be made healed. So they just stepped into the shadow of Peter with them fringes on. And every last one of them was healed. The blessing is in the fringes. If you ran fringes, the fringes will basically talk with you. They'll tell you, Doc should not do that. You're out of order. That's the wrong day. When you got your fringes on, it'll talk with you when you put it do something low down. Well, I guess I'm going to be low down, and them fringes will tell you, no, don't be low down. Go to class, get in your Bible. Stop that wicked ways you're doing. The fringes will talk to you. But if you ain't got the fringes on, ain't nothing going to talk to you but Satan the devil. Got it? Good. All right, Mother D.F. Israel, I think we're going to come to the end of your part. How about a nice quote of 7 on the clock? Come on.
Okay. I'm going to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Yahuwah and keep his Torah instruction, for this is the whole duty of man and woman. Verse 14. For Yahuwah shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Now, young lion, that verse over there in 2nd Ezra says, seek him how many times? Can one of y'all pull that verse up for me real quick? That verse say, otherwise, when you are behind and you're not doing right, then Almighty says something in 2nd Ezra about how many times to seek him. Can you pull that verse up? Pull that verse up real quick. That we can read.
Baruch chapter. On Baruch, side of Baruch chapter 4, verse 28.
That's right.
You get over there. Swing over there real quick. Going again, I'm getting the book right now. Going over to the book of Baruch. Pointing out right now. Going over to the book of Baruch. Chapter 4.
Chapter
4. 28 read.
Okay, well, verse
27 down to
verse
29.
Although 28
okay.
is
not hit, you're
absolutely right.
Well,
pick it up at verse
27,
28, and 29. What
does it say? Okay, the book of Baruch, chapter 4, verse 27 down to 29. Verse 27 reads, be of good comfort, O my children, and cry unto Yahuwah, for you shall be remembered of him that fought these things upon you. Verse 28. For as it was your mind to go astray from Yahuwah, so being returned, seek him 10 times more. Verse 29. For he that hath brought these plagues upon you shall bring you everlasting joy again with your salvation.
So you see, the reason why we're in trouble is not that the no man did it to you, the Almighty has done it to you, because you are walked away from the covenant. Matter of fact, let's read that. But read verse 36 and 37, and we'll read what happened to you that's already prophesied, chapter verse 47 through 50. We're going to see what happened. But what it say in verse 36 and 37?
Okay. Verse 36. In verse 37, 36 reads, O Yadadu, look about you towards the east, and behold the joy that come unto you from Yahuwah. Verse 37, lo, your sons come, whom you sent away. They come gathered together from the east to the west, by the word of the righteous one, rejoicing in the honor of Yahuwah.
You hear the man say, he said, guess what? He said, y'all going to get it right. He said, some way you're going to get in the ministry and be taught the right way. Matter of fact, well, let's precept that. Go to 39:17. We keep reading till we get out at Ezekiel. He said, listen, sooner or later, you will know that you've been taught wrong. And sooner or later, the rejoicing is going to come back to you saying, wait a minute. I've been lost, but now I am found. I didn't know I was calling the man by the name of Lord God Jesus wrong. I didn't know his name was Yahuwah, Y-H-W-H, but now I know now. So I got to seek him 10 times more. Then by me doing it, the Almighty going to bless me that I can bless my family and my grandfamily. So the blessing come when I do right. So in 39 verse 17, let's read about when you do right, what will happen for you in Ezekiel 39. Verse
17,
let's read a little bit. Come on.
Okay. Going to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 39, verse 17. 17 reads, and you, son of man, thus says Yahuwah, Yahuwah, speak unto every feathered fowl and to every beast of the field. Assemble yourselves and come. Gather yourselves on every side to my sacrifice, that I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, that you may eat flesh and drink blood.
Stop it there. Stop it there. We'll skip down to verse 25 in a minute. Now, what are you saying? He said he'll make a covenant with the birds. He said, listen, birds, one day I'm going to kill everything that's over the land of Israel, because you don't belong in there yet until I get everything cleaned out, blood up the horse's bridle, the birds are ate up all the blood and buried everything. Then it's time for you to come back to the land. So the one over the land of Israel is not the true Israelite. Then it's the call, the, what's that word called, when you steal identity? That's identity theft. Identity theft. They don't stole your identity over there, and that's why you maybe need a life lock or somebody. Now they don't create all type of agency now when your identity been stolen. But the biggest identity thief is the one over in the land of Israel today. Esau and his five sons, they'll stole your identity. But he tell the children of Israel, don't worry about it. You just get my word right. Then when I put the big killing over there, birds that I gave a covenant in way back in the early part of Ezekiel, to eat up all the flesh you can eat, drink all the blood you can drink, and I'm going to give the children of Israel a job for 7 months. Bearing all the folks, then it's time for you to come back to the land. That's why you got to get the knowledge right. Your land is the land of Israel. Matter of fact, the land of Israel is, when they ask you, where is your motherland at? Right now, if they ask you right now, you will say, well, Mother Africa is my motherland. No. Galatians 4:16, let's read that. to find where your motherland is. Now write this down. Hey, look at your better half check. Hey, is you writing that down? Yeah, I'm writing it down. Good. Galatians 4:16 says what?
Book of Galatians, chapter 4, verse 16 reads, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?"
What'd you read? Is that Galatians 4:16?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Well, I need to burst, make it, what I need yet? Somebody help me out. In Galatians, I need that verse. I need the mother of us all.
26.
What did I mess up at? Galatians chapter 4, verse 26. 4:26 says what?
The book of Galatians, chapter 4, verse 26. 26 reads, "But Yadat Judah, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all."
So our motherland is called Judah, in the capital of the world. So they ask you where your motherland is in the land of Israel, southern kingdom, Judah. That's our motherland. Our motherland is not Mother Africa. We've been taught wrong that. Our motherland is Ezekiel 5:5. What is that in Ezekiel 5:5?
The book of Ezekiel, chapter 5, verse 5. Verse 5 reads, "Thus says Yahuwah, this is Yadadjuh. I have set it in the midst, in the middle of the nation, and countries that are round about her."
The center capital of the world is Israel. The part that we from is the land of Judah, southern kingdom. That's the center capital of the world. So our motherland is Galatians 4:26. What are you going to do for us in Ezekiel? Now let's go back to Ezekiel again. So our motherland is the land of Israel and the one that's called African-American, Negro, and colored Judah, tribe of Judah. They supposed to go to the southern part of Israel. That's they lot. And let's see what he says in the 39th chapter behind all that. We're going to pick it up at verse number 23-29 and a closing statement. Come on.
Okay, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 39, verse 23, and you said 23 and 27?
Pick up verse 23 and read all the way down to 29.
29, okay. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 39, verses 23 down to 29. Verse 23 reads, "And the heathen shall know that the nation of Israel went into captivity for their sin, because they trespassed against me. Therefore hid I my face from them, and gave them into the hand of their enemies. So fell they all by the sword." Verse 24. "According to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions have I done unto them, and hid my face from them." Verse 25. "Therefore, thus saith Yahuwah, now will I bring again the captivity of Israel, and have mercy upon the whole nation of Israel, and will be zealous for my righteous name." Verse 26. "After that, they have borne their shame, and all their trespasses, whereby they have trespassed against me, when they dwelt safely in their land, and none made them afraid." Verse 27. "When I have bought them again from the people, and gathered them out of their enemies' land, and am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations." 28. "Then shall they know that I am Yahuwah, their Yahuwah, which caused them to be led into captivity among the 17 nations. But I have gathered them unto their own land, and have left none of them any there, any more there.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 29.
Yeah, go ahead.
29.
Okay,
neither will
well,
I.
Go ahead.
Okay, 29. Neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the nation of Israel, said Yahuwah.
Mhm. Well, that's real big. But when is all this? This right here. Although you reading that, but this must be what according to 2 Samuel, verse number 19. What does it say in 2 Samuel 7:19?
2 Samuel?
2 Samuel 7:19.
On chapter 7. 2 Samuel 7:19. The book of 2 Samuel. Chapter 7, verse 19 reads, "If this was yet a small thing in your sight, O Yahuwah, but you have spoken also of your servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Yahuwah?"
He said, you're talking like this is a great while to come. Yeah, the great while is now. See, that prophecy is being fulfilled by the six anointed camps of voices of two is life.
Yeah,
that prophecy is now. That was for a great while to come. This mm-hmm. is the time now. That's why we're telling you now, it's time to come in. It's time to organize. But he got to do something along the way in Jeremiah chapter 3. But he got to do something along the way. You just can't organize without having no knowledge. It's like trying to fill out a checkout sheet and you don't have the knowledge to do it. You don't be able to do it. So you got to do some things, and you got to do some things that we can read in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 13 down to verse 15. What it says?
Book of Jeremiah, verse 15 down to 19.
Verse 13 down to 15. 13 to 15.
Book of Jeremiah, chapter 3. Verse 13 down to 15. Verse 13 reads, "Only acknowledge your sin, that you have sinned against Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, and have scattered your ways to the strangers under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, says Yahuwah." Verse 14, "Turn, O black sliding children, says Yahuwah, for I am married unto you. And I will take you one of a six and two of a family, and I will bring you to Yada Judah." Verse 15, "And I will give you pastors according to my mind, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding."
"I will give you seals and elders and teachers that will teach you knowledge and understanding." And when will that be? 13:27 of Acts in the closing statement. And we're going to close out. Remember, tomorrow broadcast, come on at 7:30 tomorrow. Tomorrow broadcast, come on 7:30 to 10:30. Regular days, come on at 6 o'clock. But on Friday, it'll be on at 7:30 to 10:30. Saturday, it'll be on 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock. All classes will be open. You're welcome to come by, bring your better half, and learn something to help the grandbabies to come. All right, now, what you read in the closing statement, come on.
The book of Acts, chapter 13, verse
27. 13:27. Yeah, remember he said, "You have not obeyed my voice," says Yahuwah. What do you mean? Where is voice at? 13:27 in the closing statement.
Book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 27. 27 reads, "For they that dwell at Yada Judah and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the seer, which are read every Sabbath day. They have fulfilled them in condemning him.
You see that? The voice of the seer is how you, that's close to how you get to the mighty one, by listening to the seer every Sabbath day. You got it? Good. Closing statement out, young lion, excellent. Catch you on the top part of the Sabbath day. You're closing, and the world is listening. Come on.
Thank you, Yahweh, for another blessed day to read his word. Thank you, Yahweh, for a blessed day to meet the seer Israel of C. Roy, to be able to learn his word under him. Thank you, Yahweh, for my wife and children, they to teach them the Torah instructions of Yahweh. Thank you, Yahweh, for the elders, the mothers, the brothers, the sisters, the teachers, and all the brothers and sisters in a 6th anointed camp. Reading the book of Isaiah, chapter 30, verse 20. 20 reads, and though Yahweh give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not your teachers be removed into a corner anymore, for your eyes shall see your teachers. 21. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk you in when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Excellent. All right, from the young lions and the mothers and the elders, we all catch you tomorrow, top part of the Sabbath day. We'll be back on airways at 7:30 to 10:30. Now, one thing, the blessing is in the fringes, and the blessing is keeping the Sabbath day and knowing its true name. It's YHWH, Yahweh, not Lord God Jesus Christ. That is taking names. And once you know the truth, you must make a change. You got it? We'll catch you all tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. And Yahweh be with you all. And my brothers that was on the network, they're still on the network. I hope you remember to write it down. You better have to roll it down. Go over the scriptures. Help you, help her, and let's help your grandbabies understand one thing. One way to salvation, the name of YHWH, not Lord, God, Jesus, Allah, Buddha, and Jehovah.
Hallelujah.
That ain't
going to
cut it.
Right.
We'll catch you all tomorrow night from the 6th anointed camps. We'll catch you all tomorrow night, and Yahweh be with you all, and shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. You can turn off that WCC. We don't have enough. Well, see, you can keep talking. Well, I don't want to talk no more. I talk tomorrow.